Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God on the subject of the idea, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou have me to do? A few Sundays ago, I shared with you that some of God's plans are hard to understand. Week before last, when here I asked you the question, are there few that be saved? But this morning I want to share with you the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Some of us wander around in our own little worlds, and we very seldom stop to think about, God, what have you got planned for me? You've heard me say over and over and over again, quote scripture, that God said that before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb, He knew us, thought about us. You're not an accident, you're not a mistake, you're not a nobody, you're somebody that God created, and He had a certain plan for you when He created that in your heart and your life. But it's one thing to be headed in one direction and doing your will, and quite another in doing God's will and our everyday walk of life. This was a case here with a man by the name of Saul. And Saul was what he thought in his heart and his life, on the right path, doing the right thing in the right way to eradicate Christianity. Stomp it out, get rid of it, not have anything to do with anything called Christianity, anything that had to do with the Lord and their hearts and their lives. You know, there's a lot of people today that feel that way about you and I as we serve the Lord. And they think upon themselves how crazy we are and how stupid it might be and what problems it might cause and their families and their activities and the things that they would have for them to do in their heart and their life. And you know, as well as I know, that Saul, as he went out to do one thing, he came back doing another. And my life was that way. You know, I went out, had a good job, had good facilities, fine automobile, all the luxuries that a young man at my age then could have possibly wanted. But I knew also in my heart and my life, God had a plan for my life. And I'd running from that plan. I was trying to get away from that plan, not let the Lord have His way in my life. And the story begins as I finished finally surrendering to God, but it was a process. Didn't happen overnight. It come into being because of God working in my heart and my life. And I cannot help but believe, as I look around and I see our people in our church, that there's each and every one of us that needs to understand better what God's plan for our lives really are. How we got to where we are and what God's doing. You begin reading with me here in verse 1 of chapter 9. And I want to point out some things to you that the Lord has showed me in this passage of Scripture. It's familiar. Refer to it a lot. Said Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and he desired of him letters to go to Damascus, to go to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That was his plan. He went before the high priest, and he desired of him letters that would have gave him the authorization to go and to do and take prisoners, whether they be men or whether they be women, burn their houses of worship that they had, destroy them in any way that he desired here, and bring back those who profess Christianity in their hearts and their lives, and bound, and they would be tried and placed into the prisons there. All right, he's got his marching orders now. He's got his permission in his hand, and he heads out and he begins his journey to go down to Damascus. And verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. He's on the road. He's moving in the direction he has planned out in his heart and his life for what he thinks that he wants to do. And as much as he is headed in the wrong direction, God's trying to turn him around and get him in the right direction. Now, I wonder sometimes in my life and your life, you know, what it's going to take for God to get us in the right direction. To get us to doing and fulfilling the plan that he has for us in our hearts and our lives and the things that we're doing. And I'm convinced that God's got a plan for every one of us. And it's a reasonable plan. It's something that God has for us that he expects us to do. And we can do if we will listen to him. And it's according to our experience and what we have been through with the Lord in our hearts and our lives. And I said, Lord, I'm just thinking about that. And I told Kim over and over again, I have a greater appreciation today for Genesis 1:1 than I ever had before. Where the scripture says that in the beginning the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And as he spoke into being, all the creation and stuff, and all the things, and I looked at those mountains and those cliffs and down in them valleys and all that stuff, you know, and I said, help her, Lord, keep her steady. You know, she got prayed for more this week than she has in a long time. I can tell you that, because it's a long way down, long way down, as we went riding through. But here, old Saul, he's just as honest as he can be in what he's doing. He thinks that he's doing the right thing in his heart and his life and what he's doing for. And the scripture says there that this light that was shown from heaven, he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And Lord, he said, the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Can you imagine what that had to be like in the life of Saul? Headed in one direction. Everything good. He's thinking, boy, I'm going to be a big timer when I get to Damascus. I got permission here to do as I please with anyone that claims the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, as he's journeying along in his life's course, doing things that he had planned out the way he had them planned out, I guarantee you he had the crowd with him that was gung-ho right behind him to support him to do what he is headed out to do in his heart and his life. And all of a sudden, boom, a light from heaven shines down, not on that crowd, not on all those other people, just on Saul. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What are you doing, Saul? You don't understand what's happening in your heart and your life. And Saul spoke back to the Lord. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? All of a sudden, the roles reverse. What do you think did it? The bright light from heaven? Reckon that's what it was? The voice of the Lord speaking to him had a big influence on him, didn't it? But they asked him the question, what are you doing? Why are you kicking against the prick? What's your problem with the Christianity and the church today? The things in our hearts and our lives. And Saul, he can only come back and do likewise and say, well, Lord, what would you have me to do? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Life's good. Things are going well. Everything's moving in the right direction. Your plan's working out to a T. You've got the job you wanted. You've got the house you desired. You've got the automobile to drive. You've got the family established and all. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, your world gets turned upside down. The things is happening. It's what happened to Saul here. He was coming along. Everything was just clicking his way. He was just making attaboys left and right. And all of a sudden, the scripture says, he was struck blind. His world came to a halt, and his heart and his life. Remember what I told you? Before you were ever conceived, God had a plan for you. And his heart and his life. You can say, well, you know, when I'm trying to figure out what that plan is for my life, I just don't really see where God's done anything special in my life that he wanted me to do. I want you to listen to a verse of scripture. And if you don't have it marked, I want you to mark it. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. He made us exactly how we needed to be to accomplish what he would have us to do. We're created in the form of Christ Jesus. Took upon himself the image of a man. And God hath preordained that we should walk in them. Now, if God has a plan for you in your life, there's three parts to it that I see here in this story that we're sharing here from the Word of God this morning. And God's plan for your life is going to contain these three characteristics for your life. The first thing that I see here, or the first characteristic that I noticed, is that it's a personal plan. The plan he had for my life won't work for your life, and your life won't work for their lives, and their lives won't work for him. It's a personal plan. The plan that God had, as Saul was journeying down this old road, and God stopped him in the middle of his journey to Damascus and spoke to him in his heart and his life. Look at verse 4. I'll show you just how personal it was. He fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul. He didn't say Tom, Dick, or Harry. He's called him by his name. Saul, Saul. That second Saul was there for an emphasis to him. Why persecutest thou me? If we're going to get that into that word persecuted there into a language that we can understand the way it's used right there, it's me, you know, it's why have you denied me? Saul, Saul, why are you denying me? Now, this is Larry Haver thinking, so I won't charge you for it, but I want you to understand what I'm fixing to say. Whenever the Lord spoke to him and called him by his name and said, Saul, Saul, why are you denying me? When you ask yourself that question in your heart and your life, what does it say to you? I can tell you what it says to me. It's saying to me that each and every one of us, God has spoken to our hearts and our lives in some way, shape, fashion, or form. That's saying to us, this is what I would have you to do. And when we are not willing to do what he has asked us to do, very personally, come to us one-on-one, we're denying him. And when we deny him, we deny the will of God. And what's the will of God? That none should perish, but all should have everlasting life, right? It's a personal plan. Not only is it a personal plan, it's a perfect plan that God has for us. And I'll read to you that plan. It said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. And then he follows it up in verse 2 by saying this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it take to prove something? You have to act it out, don't you? And God says here in his writings to the Romans, I beseech you, or I beg you, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Who of us would be here this morning if it wasn't for the mercy of God and his care for us, that you present your bodies, and here's how he wants you to present your body, as a living sacrifice. You know, I asked you to make a little sacrifice to help us to get a new ice maker, you know, I think that's important, you know. But look what he's asking you. He's saying here that you present your bodies. Oh, we'll chip in a few extra dollars, or we'll do this, or we'll do that, you know. But now, there will hold now. I can't go that far, you know. That job's left up to the preacher, to the deacons, or the Sunday school teacher, or whoever. I can't present my body a living sacrifice. If I did, it wouldn't be holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. He ain't asking you to do something out of whack, something that you're not capable of doing. He said that he wouldn't call on us to do anything he didn't equip us and empower us to do. But here's the part that holds so many of us up in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. It's so easy to get sucked in by the things of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If God can't change your heart, he's not going to change your mind. You know, because we come to a point and a place in our hearts and our lives where we think that we got this job all figured out. He said, and that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you see anything in those three things that he pointed out there that's going to be detrimental to you? He says they're good. He says they're acceptable. And they're perfect. Why are they good? Why are they acceptable? Why are they perfect? Because they are the will of God in our hearts and our lives. So it's personal and it's personal in our hearts and our lives, what the Lord would have us to do concerning that. But it's not only personal and perfect, it's practical for what he would have us to do. It's a plan that's workable, and it's a plan that is related to our everyday living and our service that God has for us. It's a plan that not only sounds good, but it's one that fits into our daily lives. Listen what he tells him here. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, he's shaking in his sandals as he hears the voice of God speak to him. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou, what's that word? Must do. For you and I, to find ourselves in the center of God's will for our lives, we got to find what it is that the Lord would have us to do. And go where he tells us. We don't know the answers. We don't know the why fors or wheres or whats of what God has planned for you. You preachers live in proof of that. You know, told this story many times. But when I came here back in 84, 83, whenever it was, somewhere along in there, had a little 30 by 60 block building there. Had a little stoop of a porch out on the front of it. Inside was, down the center of it, had three old porcelain light sockets and plugged in a, screwed in a light bulb. One, two, three. And I had to walk out at night and hold my Bible where I could see. Over in this corner was an air conditioner. Trying to preach over the top of that light thing. Wintertime, propane heater. An old country boy with asthma, that don't go well, you know. Smother me down, you know, and stuff. God began to stir our hearts and show us what it was that he wanted us to do in our hearts and our lives. And I remember climbing up on that bluff out there that we cut down and made the dirt foundation for these buildings that's all around us here. Took out a few little dogwood trees, and I thought Miss Domecq was going to whip me, you know, because I took her shade tree. That was my parking place right there. I said, I know it. I know it. I said, but we got to make room. And she said, I know it, Larry. I'm just picking at you, you know. Just picking at you. Change don't come easy for some people, though, you know. But I got up on that bluff, and I was looking down, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I ain't never built nothing. I don't know anything about construction and stuff and things. And what you want me to do? He said, get you four sticks. I got four sticks. Went down to that end of the little 30-foot building we had. And I put down two sticks. Came to this end of the building. I put down two sticks. I said, all right, Lord. He said, move those sticks. I moved those sticks a little further, a little further. 144 feet long later, 40 feet wide, we started the construction of this building. Didn't have a dime to our names. I presented to the church. I told them what they wanted to do. On the way out, Brother Bill Ford in them days was a member of the church here. Bill come by me and he said, "Pastor, are you convinced that's what the Lord wants us to do?" I said, "I sure am." He said, "Put me and Weeder down for the slab." I said, "My goodness, Brother Bill." I said, "You talking about $12,000? He said, "I was thinking more like $15,000. I said, "Go on, Lord. Go on." We never come to a point in a place in building and doing what the Lord would have us to do. He didn't give it to us ahead of time, but he was always right on time to take care of every. I could tell you story after story after story concerning that. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." The trick to the thing that God was doing with Saul is tied up in that verse of Scripture. "Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." What do we got to do? We got to move in the right direction. Saul could have come up from that and said, "Help me, help me, I can't see, I'm blind. Y'all lead me. Let's go back home. We can't go into the city like this. Let's go back home." What good would he have done? He just rejected who? The Lord himself. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" You know what I'm convinced of? That was an honest question of a converted man, because he heard the voice of the Lord. And God said, "Go. Arise, and it shall be told thee." He don't lay his plans out ahead of time. He don't always give you the end of the story. But we can be assured of this. When the end of the story comes, then we'll certainly be blessed concerning the things that God has for us. "Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. You know, it might rattle a cage if some of you mean him? You mean her? You mean them? Scripture says here, they were speechless. They heard a voice, but they didn't see a man. When I talk to you about talking with the Lord, that's the way it is with me. I hear a voice in my soul, my mind, my heart, but I don't see the Lord. But I know who I'm talking to. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. You know, to finish this morning, I'd like to translate that verse of Scripture for you into terms of Brother Larry. Scripture says here that Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. When old Larry leaves this pulpit and I go to be with the Lord, or go to the nursing home, or wherever I might wind up at, my prayer would honestly be that I have led you by the hand of God and brought you into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that each and every one of us will answer that question. Lord, what would you have me to do? Spirit of God, I believe is speaking to the hearts and lives of some of you. First things first, are you a child of God? Do you know that you've accepted him as Lord and Savior of your heart and your life? If yes, great. Move on to the next step. But the answer is no. You can't accomplish God's will for your life till you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. You made that decision publicly. He said, whosoever will confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father in heaven. He's my defense attorney. He's going to be sitting there. He's going to represent me before God. Your heart and your life, do you know that? Have you followed him in New Testament baptism? You're a member of his church. Maybe the answer to all those is yes. But God has led you to Bexley to come and be a part of the family here at Bexley. And he's telling you he wants you to unite with this body. Trust him. Serve him and let him be the Lord of your life. I don't know what God may be doing or saying to you, but I know this. If he wants you, he's got a plan for you, he'll let you know what that is, your heart and your life. The answer is whether you believe and whether you do what he tells you to do. Some of God's plans are hard to understand. Me, Lord? You want me? Yes, he wants you. He had something in mind when he made you. Now let that fulfill in what God wants you to do. Lord, as you search our hearts this morning, we've been challenged, Lord, to ask ourselves a question. Lord, what would you have me to do? As you search us, each and every one. Some of us are hard-headed, God. You have to hit us between the eyes with a two before. Some of us are meek and mild. And we know deep down and within us that you've got a plan. But Lord, that plan contradicts our plan. I'd already desired this or already desired I was going to do this. I was content to sell Coca-Cola's. Did God change my plan? Give me a difficult job to do as a public official. But Lord, through that public official, I helped the same folks in the same way. I didn't understand it. But God, now looking back on over 40 years of ministry, I hope I've accomplished what you'd have me to do. Know these hearts here this morning. Don't let them get to the end of the row and look back and have nothing to show in their hearts and their lives. Speak to us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's speaking to your heart. These altars are open. I'd be glad to pray with you about any need. Even when we leave here today, don't leave here without speaking to me. I'll be glad to stay all afternoon if I need to help you to understand. Lord, what will thou have me to do in my heart and my life? Brother Ernie?